This morning we're going to talk about what to look out for. Sometimes you're crossing the street or you're about to bump your head like I did twice yesterday getting in and out of my crawl space under my house, and somebody says, "Look out!" And sometimes it's a quick lookout, like duck. Other times it's looking forward more, you know, like we're up to New Year's resolution time and people look forward and say, well, last year I didn't do so well in this part of my life, so this coming year I'm determined to do better. And they talk about New Year's resolution. We always kid about it at the gym because in January there's like twice as many people as the rest of the year. But by the time you get to February and March, their New Year's resolutions have often worn out and worn off, and it's back to the normal group. That's often the case there. And I'm sure we all have situations where we've looked forward with intentions to do things. Sometimes we do them, sometimes we don't. But we're all looking out for something, whether it's not bumping your head or whether it's, you know, a study project or a work project or a exercise project. We all have things we're looking forward to. So we'll talk about looking out, but not in terms of New Year's resolutions, but looking for what God can do for us. So when we look at the coming year, because we are starting a new year in just a few days, as you know, we're looking forward to the great things God can and will do for us. We're not saying, oh my gosh, another year where I have to deal with this, or another year where I have to wrestle with this problem, or another year where I have to put up with that person again. No, we do have to address those things, but those should be small noise in the background. The big things at the front of our minds should be, God will take care of me this year. God will do mighty, wonderful things for me. So this will be my best year ever, because God will do such great things for us. That's what we have to be looking for. So, we'll read a few very familiar verses that we've read in the last few months, and we'll read some we haven't read for quite a while. A nice combination of them. Something old, something new. It'll be very fun. So, let's start in Psalm 27. And just remember, this is your year. You can do with it what you will. You can sit back and let life happen to you, or you can take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and trust God and move in the direction you want to move in. It reads here in Psalm 27 and verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And the word wait is that Hebrew verb kawah, which means to expect or look for. We do wait, but it's with expectation. Like you're standing on the train platform, you have a ticket. It's 10:15 and your ticket says the train will be there at 10:20. Well, it might be 2 minutes early, it might be 2 minutes late, but it's going to get there. So it's not like you're just standing on the platform and you have no idea if there are any trains today. Usually, if you're going for a bus or a train or a airplane ride, you have a pretty good idea when you're supposed to get on the vehicle and get out of there. So you're waiting, but it's with the expectation the vehicle will be there and will take you to where you're going. So that's what we do. We wait on the Lord. We be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So if you're looking at the year ahead and some things about it look a little scary or you're not sure, there's no need to be concerned, because God will strengthen your heart. I mean, that happens when you exercise. All your muscles and parts of your body, if you do it right, get stronger. And your heart is actually strengthened physically. Well, the way your heart, being the innermost part of your mind, is strengthened, so you can have more courage and more focus and more believing and more trust in God, is God will strengthen our hearts. But we have to expect him to. We have to be waiting and looking for the Lord to strengthen our hearts. We have to have the courage to not give up. The easier thing in life, it's not the best by any means, but the easier thing is just to give up and say, everybody's against me, I have problems, I can't solve them, life is just going to be another lousy year. That's what we could do, and that's what a lot of people will do. And some people just naturally like to complain. I met somebody like that the other day. And, you know, the every word out of his mouth was a complaint. That's just a very bad way to live, because you're looking on all the negative things in life. We all have negative things in our lives, and we have to deal with them the best we can. But we shouldn't be focusing on them. We should be focusing on God's deliverance from those negative things. God coming to our aid every time we need it. So let's read verse 14 again of Psalm 27. Wait with expectations, looking for the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And again, wait, I say, on the Lord. So let's have 2020 being a year. First of all, with a name like 2020, we should have really good vision. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. We should have wonderful, wonderful vision. We should be very, very clear on God taking care of us. And we should be expecting and looking for the Lord to take care of us. We should have courage and know that he will strengthen our hearts. Now, Psalm 37, another very familiar one that we read from time to time. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So when we trust in the Lord, do good, live his word, you get to live in your house and eat, which is great. Then if you go the next step, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and get excited about the things of God, he'll give you the desires of thine heart. And again, it's your heart, not your mind. In your mind you might say, I want a new one of these, or I want a new one of those, or I want to go over here and do that. But whereas deep down in your heart, you might be looking for some kind of other fulfillment in your life. And that is what God will give you. He'll find the things that really fulfill your deepest desires, the things that really matter to you. That's what God will do for you. So, again, as we read in verse 4 here of Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. That's the word roll. Just picture this big boulder on your shoulders weighing you down. Just roll it over onto the Lord's shoulders. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, why should I be worried about the year 2020? Because whatever I'm concerned about in my way, meaning the path I'm going to take, what direction am I going to take in 2020? I'm just going to roll it all over in the Lord. Let him worry about it. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth... Well, and there's a lot of things like that. Like, you all know I drive Uber sometimes, and people get in the car, and they have confidence that I can get them there. It's very occasionally I get a very controlling rider who wants to tell me exactly which turns to take. No, don't go down that route. It's faster if you go this way. And sometimes it is. Sometimes they get me in traffic jams, though, because my computer app knows where the traffic is, and they don't. But the point is, they just sort of sit back and enjoy the ride, play with their emails on their phones, and let me get them there. Well, that's a lot of what we need to do in 2020. Yes, do some planning. Yes, do some thinking. Yes, do some organizing. But once you've done that, just back off and trust in the Lord that he'll get you there. Let's read that verse again. Commit, verse 5 of Psalm 37, or roll it over onto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He's never late. He'll get you there. It's sort of like you're standing on the platform waiting for the train. The train's never left you there before. Maybe you ride it every day. I used to have trains I would ride every day, and they always came. again, maybe a minute earlier than I thought or a minute later, but they always came. And God is much more faithful than the train system. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Just quit being mad about everything. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evils. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that wait with expectation, those that are always looking to the Lord, expecting him to bless them, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Again, have that expectation, looking for the Lord to help you. That's why I say look out. Look out. The Lord's going to help you. That's what we should be looking forward to. We shouldn't be looking around for problems, wondering when the other shoe is going to drop, as the saying goes, wondering when something's going to go bad. We should have the absolute positive expectation that the Lord will come through for us. Then just be prepared for what's going to happen. It's like maybe you're sitting in a theater waiting for a play or a movie to start. You know there's going to be a show. You don't know everything that's going to be in the show because you haven't seen it yet. But you have this expectation that there will be a show and you will enjoy it. Well, that's a little bit like us trusting God. We know God's going to come through for us in mighty and wonderful ways. We just don't always know how he's going to do it or exactly when he's going to do it. But we know he's going to come through. So we have huge, positive, wonderful expectations. And we are looking out. But we're not looking out for a tree branch to fall on us or something like that. We are looking out for God to bless us and direct our paths and supply our needs and give us the desires of our hearts. That's what we're looking for. So again, Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked, verse 35. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yeah, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And that's what we have when we look to the Lord. When we look to the Lord and have that expectation that he'll bless us, then, just like it says there, just a minute. Read that verse again, verse 37, then we have peace. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We're very peaceful when we're expecting God to bless us. See, let's say I'm on that train platform. I got to be at work in an hour, and it's a 45-minute train ride. Now, if I wasn't convinced the train was going to be there, I'd be very nervous. Because what am I going to do? You know, I'm here, the only way to get to my job is on the train, or if I don't do that, then somebody dropped me off, so I got to go find another car or get a really expensive cab or Uber or something. But if I'm confident the train's coming, I'm just staying there peacefully reading the paper or looking at the emails on my phone, just waiting for the train to come. And I'm very peaceful because I'm expecting the train to come, like it does every morning. Okay, say it varies 2 minutes maybe, but no more than that. So I'm expecting it to be there, and then there'll be plenty of time to get off the train in the city and walk to my office, and everything's great. Well, that's the way we have to be about everything in life. We simply have to have that positive expectation that, yes, we're going to wait a little while, but God won't be late. We'll get to where we need to go, and we will have all of our needs supplied. And the result is we're very peaceful. There is just nothing to worry about because God has provided all that we need. Psalm 40, just across the page on my Bible, Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and what? Heard my cry. So I waited. I had that great expectation that the Lord would come through. Another translation can be, I waited patiently and expectantly. And what did he do? He heard my cry. Some people think nobody's listening to them. And we all know people that just don't listen. You say something three times and they still ignore you. We all know people like that. Sometimes we probably get preoccupied and are the same way. But when he cried unto the Lord heard his cry. And, of course, then the Lord came through and took care of him. Psalm 62, and verse 5. We're going to look out for 2020. Going to look out, not for emergencies, tragedies, and problems, but for God's blessings. Sometimes life is like an Easter egg hunt. There's cool stuff out there, and you're going to look around, and all of a sudden, hey, there's an Easter egg. Well, that's what we do. We pray and trust God, and he comes through for us. So Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. He's giving himself a pep talk. Only expect God to take care of you. Don't expect problems. Don't expect people to come through, because half the time they don't. So my expectation, he says, my soul, he's giving himself a lecture. Sometimes I do that. I stand in front of the mirror and point a finger at myself and quote verses or tell myself what to think. It's actually very effective sometimes. Well, that's what this guy was doing. He's saying, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Have your expectation upon God. For my expectation is what? From him. My expectation is from him. My hope, my positive expectation. So this would be a great theme verse for the year 2020. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. If people come through for you, that's icing on the cake. And a lot of people will. See, it's not that all people are evil or, you know, totally disorganized, but there are enough of them around that don't really care and aren't really going to try to help you, that if you're always expecting people to help you, you'll be let down frequently. But if instead your expectation is from God, then when somebody does help you or is nice to you, that's icing on the cake. But if you have a day where nobody's nice to you and nobody helps you and you're left on your own, so what? Your expectation is from God. And then the next day, three people help you and four people are nice to you and it's a better day. But then the day following, maybe everybody ignores you again. But so what? Your expectation is from God. That's what you expect. Let's read that again. My soul, wait. Look expectantly only upon God, for my expectation is from him. That's what I expect. Verse 6. He, again, Psalm 62, verse 6. He, God, only is my rock and my salvation, my deliverance. He's the only one. He's the one's your rock. He's the solid foundation you need. He's your salvation. He brings you deliverance. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. I won't be shaken. I won't be pushed around. In God is my salvation, my deliverance, and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Wow, what a great thing to be looking out for in 2020. That God's going to be your strength, your rock, your refuge, all of those things, your deliverance. God is wonderful, and he's there to help us. Let's go to Psalm 62. Oh, wait a minute. I was just in Psalm 62. Let's go to Psalm 71. Flip over a few pages, perhaps. Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Just don't let me get all confused and disgraced and discombobulated. Just don't let that happen. Verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, like my fortress, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. That is wonderful. So we have to remember that God is our hope. And that's just a noun form of that verb kawa. My expectation. God is our expectation. How wonderful that is. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, all the day long. So we don't have to envy people that don't love God, but we have great respect for God. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation, that's the, again, the noun form of the word that means to wait with expectation. For thine expectation shall not be cut off, verse 18. So surely there's an end. There's a hereafter, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. What we expect won't disappear. God will take care of it. So we don't worry about prosperous sinners or other people. We just look to God and trust him, and he is there to take care of us in every way. Isaiah 40, verse 28. This is one I don't think we've looked at for a while, but we have read it. Isaiah 40, verse 28. And here in Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. They're usually the ones with the most energy, but even they will faint and fail. But, verse 31, they that wait with that expectation upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So maybe you feel you've lost all your strength and you're quite weak. Well, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And there's a great Oriental custom here that Bishop Pillai explained, that there's a certain kind of eagle that molts every year, and it loses its feathers. And the way it does it is it flies way up high and sort of dive bombs into a pond, and all the feathers fall off. And then it squawks around on the shore, sort of like a plucked chicken, till the feathers grow out again, and then it's stronger than ever. Now, there may be days where you feel like a plucked chicken, and you feel you have no strength at all. That's okay. This is the year to look out, and you'll be looking for God to increase your strength. Remember, we read in the Psalm that he'd strengthen your heart? Well, now he's going to strengthen you overall. Mentally, physically, spiritually, God is just going to give you more strength so you can deal with your day-to-day challenges. So let's read that again, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we, as people, being made of dust and not being perfect, often will think about our weaknesses, think about our problems, think about our shortcomings, think about people that have treated us wrongly, think about mistakes we've made. And those are all honest parts of life. But our focus should be on God strengthening our hearts and expecting him to come through for us. You know, let's say you have to trim the grass on a very large yard, and all you have is a pair of toenail scissors. That would be really hard. I don't think you'd get the whole yard cut before it got so long you'd have to go cut it again. But let's say you got a big old riding lawnmower that's just had its blade sharpened and has a full tank of gas. Now it's not so bad. Half an hour later, it's all trimmed and looks beautiful. Well, there are times in life where when we face our problems, we feel we're doing them with, you know, addressing problems with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of toenail scissors, and we're trying to go clip, clip, clip. Whereas with the power of God, it's like zooming through with the big riding lawnmower. Vroom! And it's all cleaned up. So that's what we have to look out for. Look for God's riding lawnmower of deliverance to come to your aid every day. And whatever it is you need, he'll be there to help you out with it. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 29. Here's a favorite one we look at a little more often. Still true. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Which, of course, they did. Under King Cyrus the Persian, they were sent back to rebuild the temple and re-inhabit Jerusalem. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end is again the noun form of that word, meaning to wait with expectation. I'm going to give you an expected end, or can also be translated an expectation and an end. Or here's my favorite translation, to give you a future and a hope. With God, we always have a future and a hope. Some people think they've reached the end of the line. You know, I've done all I could do. It didn't work. Everybody let me down. I wasn't good enough to pull it off, whatever it was you're trying to do. Nobody else wanted to help. I've reached the end, and it's a bad end. Nope. Not with God. A future and a hope. So that's why we should look out for 2020 to be the best year ever. Because God's given us a future and a hope, and he'll be there more and more. Let's read a little bit about our great hope, which is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We can have positive expectation every day, every time we pray and believe, but the one big hope we have is the return of the Lord. Then there's lots of small hopes every day. Small in the sense that they're one issue we're dealing with, but the return of the Lord, that's big. Our bodies are changed. We're ever with the Lord. Very different. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated on the right hand of God spiritually. Physically, we're still here. But spiritually, we have a seat right next to Christ. Did the Dundons fall off? We'll wait a minute for the Dundons to come back on. Hold on a minute. We can't do this with background music. Dundon's back? Okay, we'll keep going. We got Frank Sinatra there for a minute, but welcome back. Okay. So, getting back to where we were, in Ephesians 2, here we are. So, let's go back to verse 4. Give this another try. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, because by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. In verse 7, that in the ages to come, it's talking about the future administrations after the gathering together and the resurrections, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. He's going to just really take care of us. What a positive expectation. What a great, great thing. We've all been to nice parties with wonderful hosts and hostesses who just have all our favorite foods and things to drink. And it's fun to talk to everybody. And we look forward to these, that it's going to be a really great party or dinner or lunch or breakfast brunch or whatever it is. And it's just so great. Well, God is going to be the greatest master host of all time for all eternity. And he's promised that to us. I have no idea every detail, but I know we're going to get bodies that can't get sick and don't die. And we're going to be with the Lord, and we'll be greatly rewarded. And it'll be marvelous. So that's why we have that hope. That's why we have that positive expectation. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, but he will. So verse 7 again, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, by God's divine favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it were of works, we could boast. I could say, I read the Bible more than you, so I'm more saved. Or you could say, I help the poor more than you, so I'm more saved. Nope. Jesus Christ paid for our salvation with his blood, so there's nothing to boast about. If we're going to boast, we're going to boast about what Christ did for us and that we have salvation because he's such a great Savior. So we can boast about him, and talks about that in the epistles, but us, we're just wonderful saints who have the joy of benefiting from what our Savior did for us. Colossians 1, verse 3. This is a favorite. Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. See, our hope is laid up, it's stored up in heaven. And I love that, because God has it in his own heavenly warehouse or something. That's where our hope is. That's where all the great things God will do for us are. And the reason I like it is nothing on earth can goof it up. I mean, we've read history, and we've all lived through many things. Governments come and go. People come and go. So many things. Economies change. So many things change. If it were in a bank, I'd be concerned that the bank would fail or there'd be another banking crisis or, you know, even if it's an FDIC bank, there are limits to how much insurance they're going to pay you back. But our hope is stored up in heaven. Nothing can get to it. Nothing can get to it. They can't pass a law against it. They can't pass a regulation against it. It can't be stolen. It can't rust. It can't, you know, have its stock price fall and go bankrupt and be sold off in pieces. These are all things that happen on a regular basis down here on earth. But none of that can happen with our hope because it's stored up in heaven. Let's read that verse again. Colossians 1 verse 5. For the hope, the positive expectation of the return of the Lord and us getting new bodies and forever being with the Lord. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the Gospels. Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies on the right hand of God, and our hope is right up there. We just haven't physically gotten there yet. That'll happen when our bodies are changed and we are gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. We'll physically be there then. But it's not like we have a ticket. You know, let's say you're going to some nice warm place for vacation and you have a ticket and some lodging reserved and some other tickets for events you want to go to. You're all booked. The trip might not be for 2 months, but you're all booked and you're ready to go and everything's there. Well, that's the way our hope is. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what? Our hope. He's our hope because he's the one coming back to gather us together. That is wonderful that we have that hope. There's no other person in the world that is able to be that kind of hope. There, you may be in a business dealing and have somebody that is sort of the hope for saving your business because he's either good at organizing the business or he's good at finding funding or something like that, or he has a lot of customers to bring your way. So you can have somebody that's your hope for that kind of thing. But to give you a new body in eternal life, that's only one person that can be that hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God can't lie, and he promised our eternal life before the world began. So that's our hope. Our positive expectation is eternal life. And 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope, and since God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's proof he can do it. A lot of people make a lot of claims about what they can do, but he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's like we read earlier in Colossians, that our hope is laid up in heaven. So our inheritance, which is part of that hope, is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fades not away. You know, inflation doesn't erode it. You know, like there are central banks in Europe where, and I've never figured this out, but they're offering negative interest rates. You know, you buy one of my bonds and I'll take a 0.5% a year away from you. I don't get it, but I guess economists have it figured out. But that doesn't happen to our inheritance. It's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what a great hope that is. A couple here to wrap up. One more to wrap up. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in the older manuscripts, for some reason it was taken out in later manuscripts, but in the older manuscripts, where it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Oh no, let me back up. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in the older manuscripts, it adds the phrase, and we are. We absolutely are. We're not just called sons of God, we are. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, this positive expectation for the return of the Lord, he purifies himself even as he is pure. So let's look out in 2020. Let's not look out for tragedies and accidents and problems and bad situations where circumstances don't work out and people don't follow through and don't treat us well. Let's not have expectation of that. May happen, but let's have expectation that the Lord will come through mightily for us. So instead of having to pick through your problems like somebody with a pair of tweezers or toenail scissors, you're just zooming through with a big riding motor, mowing down every problem in front of you, because the Lord is bringing you deliverance. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day to look at your word. Thank you for the great deliverance we have by trusting you. May we continue to see victory with you every day. And may 2020 be a great year for looking out for your great deliverance. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.